taken from Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. On one occasion, while Jesus was eating with the disciples, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for my gift the Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Jude. In the reading, we heard how Jesus told his disciples to wait. Wait for the Holy Spirit that was promised. The gift that was promised. They had to wait. Humans aren't very good at waiting, are we? Especially if we don't know how long we have to wait for. I wonder what you do when you're waiting for something. Maybe you twiddle your thumbs, play with something. Perhaps you stretch a lot and sigh. Could it be that you look at clocks or watches a lot in the hope of hurrying time on? These days, lots of people take out their phones. Now, the disciples might have done any of those things while they were waiting, except play on their phones, of course. They would also have prayed. They would have used the time to talk to God. Prayer is powerful, and God hears every single one of our prayers, even when we think he doesn't. God's answer to our prayers might be yes, it might be no, or it might be not yet. The not yet is usually because God knows there is a better time for that prayer to be answered. I read recently about Queen Bertha of Kent. In the year 578, Bertha, a princess in Europe, moved to Canterbury in England to marry King Ethelbert, who was the King of Kent. Christianity was not yet established in England, and Ethelbert was a pagan king. But his new bride, Bertha, had a strong Christian faith, and so King Ethelbert converted an old Roman chapel into a place, a chapel, private chapel, for Bertha to be able to worship in. For 18 years, every day Bertha went to this chapel and she prayed for her husband's conversion to Christianity. 18 years she prayed, every day. She must have thought that God was either not hearing her prayers or perhaps that the answer was no. Yet, God knew there was a better time. In the year 597, Pope Gregory the Great sent a mission team from Rome to England. Led by a monk called Augustine, the team landed in Kent and first preached the gospel to King Ethelbert, who finally gave his life to Jesus. Hallelujah indeed. Not just that, but within 1 year, it's estimated 10,000 people converted to Christianity, following Ethelbert's example. What an answer to prayer. In the same way, God knew that the best time for the arrival of the Holy Spirit was at Pentecost, when people from all over the world would be in Jerusalem. So with the gifts of courage and teaching and the sudden ability to speak other languages, the disciples were able to share the good news of Jesus with thousands of people, who in turn would take that good news back with them. And it's as a result of their faith and action that we are here today, celebrating the good news, celebrating the arrival of the Holy Spirit. God really does know what and want what is best for us. Always. We don't always get it all right.
The second reading this morning is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 to 6. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Lynn. Just a reminder of part of the reading that Jude so wonderfully read earlier for us. Wait for the gift my father promised, which you have heard me speak about. John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And now the Holy Spirit has arrived. The waiting is no more, it's finished. The Holy Spirit is now with and in all who became and have become since believers in Jesus as Lord of their lives. That's a fact. And with the Holy Spirit comes a plethora of gifts. And that's what we really want to talk about this morning. The gifts that we each have that are used into growing God's kingdom. Paul confirms this fact in our second reading. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but is the same God who does the work in all of us. He goes on to say in verse 7, Holy Spirit is given to each of us in a special way that is for the good of all. Be that wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, helps, the power to do miracles, the ability to prophesy, discern, languages, explanations of, and many others. There's over 20 gifts stated in the Bible. All of the gifts are produced by one and the same Spirit. He gives gifts to each person just as he decides. Paul sees these gifts as the capability and skills used in the building up of the family of Christ. I would agree with that and would hope that many of you would too. So let's just see how that's working out. Hands up if you're very brave, put the humility gift to one side. Put your hand up if you believe you have a spiritual gift. That's great. But it's not everybody. So it seems possible to me that our personal interpretation of the gifts of the Spirit can unintentionally blind us to the truth of them working in our own lives, because they do. I can say with full confidence that I would not have any of those gifts. That's the truth. If I chose to see them as gifts only given to spiritual people. I do not consider myself a spiritual person. But if I choose, which I do, to see the Holy Spirit's gifts as central to the ministries I work and am involved with, then I am truly gifted. And I'm not being brazen about that. I do use those gifts in different ways in the ministries I'm involved with. I do, as do all of you. Every one of you, from the youngest to the very oldest, we all have gifts. I don't know whether you listened to the Lectio 365. It's been Pete Gregg all week. This morning, you would have heard him say this, that on the day of Pentecost, the day of Pentecost became the end of spirituality because the Spirit pressed the church into the public square. It became public. It became used. It became a public responsibility. I thought it was an interesting quote because it isn't all spirituality. It's the practicality of using what you have been given for the building up of the church. So the downside of us not believing we have any real gifts, however we perceive them, is that it doesn't just only curtail your own growth, your own nurture, but it can also affect and restrict the growth in others using theirs. I can't, to give you an example, I can't fully exercise mine if others aren't exercising theirs. It would be impossible. We need to work together to be effective. Please do not hear that I'm calling for volunteers. I really am not calling for volunteers this morning. What I want you to know above all else is that each one of you is a gift. You are a gift. You are gifts to this church, your family, your place of work, or wherever you spend your time. You possess gifts from the Holy Spirit that you, and only you, are unique in. If you don't exercise your gift, it won't come from anybody else. God has given that gift through the Holy Spirit to you. You are not a label of your generation. Generation X, a millennial, Z, Alpha, that's the most recent one, that's this year's, just in case. These are labels that culture gives you. It's not. First and foremost, you are God's child. Whatever age you are an heir to his kingdom. You belong to God through Jesus. You are his. Just as the 3,000 crowd listening to Peter's speech repented, turned to God, and were baptized on the day of Pentecost, we too, at the point of saying yes to Jesus, are added to that number. We are added to that number. Remember that always. Now, let's just return to the spiritual gifts. I want to give you an example of those gifts in action. So I suppose more personally, it's how I use those gifts or how I perceive those gifts in actions. As most of you know, I minister in the role of children and families, young families. I've done this in different guises for over 40 years in the church context. Working with children was also very much part of my paid secular work as well, before retirement. But it was only after becoming a Christian did I realise the skills I exercise in each of those areas, those roles, were God-given through the Holy Spirit. Serving in the secular and the church then became a blessing, first of all to me, to God, and I believe a blessing to others. But as time went on, I quickly realised another truth. It was impossible to exercise my gifts without the gifting of others. I just couldn't do it. Let me give you a very current example. I work with some amazing teams. Creche, toddlers and messy church. A couple of months back, we so needed cover for what I and others believed God was wanting to do through us and through that ministry. And it was a really tough time, I've got to admit that. There were developments we were putting off because we just couldn't see how it would work. My toddler team are, like me, are they here? I think they are here. Are of a mature age. I did get permission before I was there. And also involved with other areas of mission and life, and like me, could not do any more. And my creche team and messy church team were already taking on extra responsibilities. Therefore, my personal gifting in being able to nurture, develop the good stuff that was happening meant very little because I wasn't free to do it. And then, praise God, in 1 week, three people came forward to help, unexpectedly. These people, to me, were God-given. They enabled us to do the things we wanted to do. A couple of those people are here to today. I want them to hear that God sent them to me. They were God-given. And I'm pretty sure that those that came forward didn't think for one second that what they were offering was either their gifting or their gift from God to me. In fact, one even said, I actually don't like working with children. But remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 6. There are different ways the Spirit works, but the same God is working in all these ways and in all people. Never underestimate how God's Holy Spirit is at work in you. Never underestimate how he is at work with you and in you. Paul speaks of the body of Christ being in need of one another. Hallelujah. It's so true that we all have a part to play. Today, as we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit en masse on the day of Pentecost, let's refresh our belief in the fact that we personally and corporately are beneficiaries of that very same Holy Spirit. Let's not be afraid to recognize him and his power at work within us through his gifting and the part that we play. Act upon. Because when we act upon them, when we acknowledge them and understand them, it enables others to flourish in their gifts too. Let's not be afraid either to ask if we believe our personal flame of the Holy Spirit feels non-existent or low, for Jesus to fan that flame into a roaring fire, that we too, like the disciples, can in the ways that we are gifted, go out to be his witnesses in our hometown, in our workplaces, in our homes, in our church, and even to the ends of the earth. I wanted just for a few moments to just be still. If you are a person that feels quite low in your spirit, for whatever reason, an opportunity for you to pray in that little bit of quietness for God to fill you afresh with his Holy Spirit. Whatever you need, whatever, however you're feeling, offer that to God. He knows it. Just acknowledge it. A few minutes to speak to God, after which I'll say a closing prayer. And if you agree with that closing prayer, please just say Amen at the end. Just before I say this prayer, you each, as you came in, were given a little bit of yellow ribbon. You don't have to do anything with this little ribbon. It's just a reminder for you to take with you, to put somewhere where you, you know, in your wallet or your purse or on a mantelpiece or a shelf or somewhere, to remind you in every day that you wake up. You are a gift, and what God has placed in you is also a gift to share. Let me just pray. Jesus, as you returned to heaven to be with your Father God, you asked your people to wait for the gift your Father would send. You said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Your gift arrived. And today, we praise and thank you, Lord, and we ask to be refreshed in the Holy Spirit, that we may be sent out. Enable us, go with us, inspire our spirits to align with yours, that we may, together, be effective in bringing God's glory to his waiting world. Amen.